Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 255 of the Maritime Paintball Podcast. First, I apologize, my background is incredibly boring because I took all of my gear down to go paintballing and then the car decided I wasn't going paintballing and I've been angry and I haven't bothered putting it up yet. So, I apologize for the blank background. I'm super pumped for tonight's show. I've got a fantastic gentleman who's been playing for ages. Kevin Curry. So he posted up this really cool, he described it as a eulogy, something realization. I think I forget. We'll find out in a second of, basically this great mindset. We just have to talk about it. It's really hard to talk about, but basically he played a game of paintball and it kind of a light shone through, I guess. So we're going to find out. We're going to chat with Kevin Curry and we're going to talk about did Meg Hill and some fantastic players possibly find the way to save paintball? Maybe, probably not. We don't know. Everyone always talks about growing the sport and that they've done it, but we'll see. We're going to get there. Folks, if you have any questions, any comments, please put it in the comments there on the left-hand side. I will see them. I will read them. I will ask your questions. Also, do me huge favor and share this around. This is something that we need to get as many people talking about as possible because I think it's going to be a fantastic conversation. And no, this is not some nonsense about hashtag grow the sport because you all know how much I hate it. Anyways, without further blabbering, Kevin Curry, what is happening, my man?
So excited to be here tonight, Brad. Thanks for the opportunity. We're coming off a pretty big weekend. I'm still sore. My 40 plus years is really feeling it. And I know everybody is focused on these gold beads. So I'm not sure if those are getting your attention, but
whatever keeps them watching, I'm good with it. If it's a shiny object needs to be on the screen, whatever keeps their attention, I'm golden. I'm good with it. Okay. So let's start with the simple, easy stuff. Let's talk about who you are and a bit of your background and maybe like how you've played paintball in the past kind of thing.
Well, kind of hard to condense 20 plus years into 30 seconds, but I'll do my best. I don't know. I played at all levels, mostly speedball, almost all speedball. But I did start in the woods. And I think I'd like to remind people of that I did do a lot of hiding, sneaking around with a pump gun way back in the day. And at that time, there was nothing else to play. So everybody was default woods ball players. And the sport evolved. We followed it out of the woods. Ammo became flashy palette colors, neon pink, neon yellow. And you know, that evolved from hyperball into speedball, air tubes, and full-on speedball came, I don't know, sometime in the late 90s, early 2000s, and played CXPL, AXPL, EPPL, you name it. I played it locally and in Canada, and I haven't looked back. Took a year off last year.
A whole year.
It was a whole year. It was a whole year. I'm serious. It ate me alive.
I bet.
And, I really wanted to get back out there. And anyway, here we are after first weekend back, 2020. It ain't all bad.
Yeah. So, okay. So you've been playing for ages. You've played everything from woods ball to speedball. So let's just get right into it, I guess, and talk about this past weekend. Meg Hill Paintball outside of Moncton, New Brunswick, which if you haven't been to that field, please go. It's a great field. They held a street ball tournament, which I'm sure I'm not 100% confident. Actually, I can 100% say I've never heard of anyone else doing a game like this on purpose. But essentially, they gathered as many players as they could. They put everyone's name in a hat and they drew names. And the teams were basically split up randomly. And it prevented the, the regional reigning champs from coming in and just stomping on everybody who played there. So that was the game. It was a speedball tournament that was totally random teams and prevented the big guys and the big dogs from just eating everybody alive. You basically wrote like like an essay on this game, the way it made you feel and what you had noticed. So let's dive into that a little bit. So just give me the cliff notes and give everybody the cliff notes of kind of like what you experienced and what how it made you feel.
Well, again, I mean, I don't take this opportunity lightly. I do like to give lots of those little knowledgeable tidbits on Canadian paintball, and I go off and I write those diatribes quite often, but I really felt this one. And I guess I want to say I coined it, but I'm pretty sure I seen it somewhere the other day, that if you took 20 Canadian kids, 20 hockey sticks, threw them all in the middle, started tossing them different ways, this way and that way, regardless of skill level, knowledge team your stick planet is the team you're on. And there's good and there's bad to that. You cannot get any more Canadian than picking up hockey sticks and playing a game of street hockey. And I'm
Absolutely.
going to jump around, so I'm going to ask you to rein me in here, but
Oh,
this,
buddy.
I was, honest to God, I was terrified to go. Anything that I've ever done has been competitive. You
Okay.
go, you play to win. You play for the cup. You play for the medals. You play for first. You had a lot of thirds the last couple of years. I don't want to talk about it. But everything has been about competition, and it's ingrained. You cannot get away. It's what keeps bringing you back. It's a part of what keeps bringing you back. So, you know, coupling that with the fact that we need to grow this sport, you touched on it, get rid of the reigning champs, get rid of the bullies, get rid of 90% of the reasons that are preventing newer players from coming on, getting smashed, getting overrun, getting run down. So what did Josh and Meg Hill do? Stripped all that stuff away. But at the same time, it stripped my security blanket away because they're like, okay, all right, veteran players, experienced players, we're going to give you player A and B. And it could range from somebody brand new picking up like an EMAC, or somebody that's got 2 or 3 years of speedball experience, doesn't play that often, doesn't take it as serious. So everything I've never wanted to be, but every reason why we need them to play.
Okay.
So again, like it's like competitive paintball was stressful, but this was stress in a different reason, because you're like, oh my gosh, you know, these you get two people looking up, you saying, all right, what do we do? And you're like, oh, well, this is not why I came here at all, right? I don't have my quick, fast front guys or my solid, steady back guys playing. And I'm like, all right, what do you guys think? Who do you guys want to sit? It was such a relief after those first couple of games. So quick and dirty was we introduced, even on my little island there, we introduced 2 to 3 new players. Easy entry. They don't have to go out there and win it all. I didn't have to go out there and win it all. And I said it at the end. At the end, my competitive craving was fixed by the finals. But the fun came back because there was no expectations. I was having a great time in the sidelines with both old, and actually, I think I alluded to it in my poster. I didn't know 75, 80% of these players, and they didn't know me. And I'm sure, like, it's like, who's the old man with the ripped jeans? And who is this dude? And, you know, then I sat down, I seen the faces that I haven't seen in a year, and I'm like, whoa, this is 99% of the reason why I played, to come see these guys in between points, after the games, before the games, and, you know, on the field, that came second. So the camaraderie. But at the same time, Josh also intermixed us all. So you got no choice but to mingle. You're with your new teammates, you're seeing your old teammates, like. And again, shut me down anytime, Brad, but man, I will go
Keep
on
going,
with you.
man. I'm fixed. I've actually one second before you keep going, before you keep going. Jason Moore Miller wants to know the genes. He says, please explain the genes.
Okay, well, look good, feel good,
Play
play
good.
good,
Yeah.
right?
You know
That's
what?
my mantra right there.
We covered that actually like in episode one of this show like 6 years ago, and the whole show was just if you look good, you'll play good.
That's
We
right.
were
So you
talking
know
out our
what?
asses, but you
Yeah. So what? It's unique, and everybody out there is wearing the same pair of pants. And I'm like, man, I gotta get no. So besides this, I should have put those pants on for you, Brad. Like $32 at Old Navy, and they're still ticking. So I can get you a pair, Jason. I'll need $42, and I can meet you at the next event.
Uh, Well, so it's funny that you brought up the fact you were wearing like jeans, because the last time I was at Mag Hill, somebody made the comment that because I ran down one of the speedballers in a pair, I was wearing a pair of jeans because it's what I wear on the field. I wear Levi's, because they're cheap and they haven't torn yet. And yeah, it was just when I seen that you had like the in the post there that you were wearing like ripped jeans. I was like, yes, you're
Much
comfortable.
respect. You wore Levi's?
Yeah, Walmart
Yeah.
Levi's.
Okay. Yeah. Straight leg or are they tight at the bottom?
No, I have boot cut. I think
Ooh.
I'm not sure. I don't know what they are.
We'll hook you up with some skinnies.
They're not skinnies. I know they're not skinny.
You
I've
could
got
feel
skinny
good.
jeans, but I paid more for the skinny jeans than I did for these. I bought these Levi's like, Jesus, ages ago from Walmart, and they've lasted me.
Well, there you go.
I need a new pair though. I do want like a pair that are a little bit tighter on the bottom. Scott Mays says, let's see what's in your bag. I'm not sure. Mike, your bag's still in the car. I haven't unpacked the damn thing since the car basically like told me I'm not going. So, Robert A. Torres, old blue jeans and a t-shirt. What more do you need?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing.
Exactly. You don't need any of this fancy ass dye stuff to win, you know?
But I'll tell you just touched on it there, Brett, and it was going to segmenting players, and you said I ran down a speedballer.
That
Really,
was
really.
that.
Just I want you to think about that for 10 seconds and conditioning ourselves. Now look at Atlantic Canada as a whole. We're a very small
Yep.
population relative
We
to
are.
Canada. So I've been on this hype where we can't keep segmenting players into genres. So out there, I got run down by a Tippmann 98. By a CS2, by an EMEC, you name it, four or five different guns. There was a guy that had a hat on, a guy that didn't have a hat on, a guy had rubber boots on, anything and everything. But there was a ball coming up. Now it was still in an arena type format, but all genres were mixed in there because we can't afford to segment, right? We
Absolutely.
need as many
Absolutely. I
players as
100%
we
agree.
possibly can.
Yes. And I exactly. We need to and you hear it a lot on the field. It's that team has more speedballers or this team has more mag fed or and you know what I mean? It's usually used as like a reason for one side to be winning or losing. Whereas it should be more about the player behind that marker, right? Like I've seen some dudes that are they're just monsters. It doesn't matter what marker they're carrying. You give them you give them the brand new 170R or you give them a Tippex. It doesn't matter. They're still gonna run you down because that's their play style.
So with that, on 20 years of experience, the most common mistake people make is they think they don't have to practice. Any other sport, my son plays football. They practice 3-hour-long practices a week. So paintball guys buy $2,000 worth of gear, show up at the field, put the same paint in, don't test it, don't size their barrel. Don't check their loader, don't check their battery, head out on the field and wonder why they can't shoot anybody. Some very simple drills practice at home would help alleviate a lot of these issues. You would become better and it wouldn't cost you a lot of money. But for some reason, people think I've got the high-end gear, I don't have to practice, or
I've
I
seen that
can't
a
afford
lot.
to practice. So practice pays off, kids. People rarely do it, but the proof is in the pudding.
It really is. And I had Tyler Fields on last week, and he was talking he's talking about being a coach for a paintball team and what it's like. And he touched on it really well, and I'm actually going to bring him back on the show later on. I really want to bring him on because for an entire episode just talking about fitness and nutrition to play paintball. I get it. It's paintball is a recreational activity, and you can be as hardcore as you want or as relaxed as you want. If you want to be the dude who just like slams beers the night before and munches pizza during the game and plays like garbage, but you're having a great time. Awesome. But if you're like yourself and you're the kind of person who's like, I'm going to step on that field and I'm going to win, you've got to train and you've got to practice for it. You got to, you know, and I was talking to him and he's talking about like, I want him to do an entire YouTube series of just like these are the activities that you should do to get better at paintball.
Yeah. That... So on that right there. So what Tyler and his group are trying to do, and they've got some of the best ballers in Atlantic Canada, they have to focus there if Absolutely. They're going to succeed at the level they're attempting to play at. But for us here, this is what drove a lot of our guys away, is because when the NXL, which again, that's the, and that's the throne of all speedball, they, and especially with Go Sports, they put up a model that we've been dying for years. That is the, that's the epitome of paintball, but we don't have the resources, the player base, or the dollars to offer that to our players. So we've got 20% of the population that could play that, but we've got 80% that can't, but we need them to support our local base. So, and again, this is part of my story, is that when X-Ball really exploded, it was the best and worst thing to ever happen to Atlantic Canadian paintball. Because at first, because of the expense, because of the cost, the first year was fine. A lot of those local teams stepped up, played. Second year, no. They realized the costs and the dedication that it took. So they had to start scavenging players from other areas, which disrupted other local smaller teams. Year three, it got worse. By the time year four and year five came along, out of a 10-man team, you'd have four people there just to pay the bills. And then realizing, hey, I bought $2,000 worth of gear, and I don't even get to play, and all I'm doing, I'm a meal ticket for somebody else. And then our players started traveling provincially, Canadian, state-wise, and not playing locally, with nobody coming up to replace them. Why? Because there was no farm system, so to speak. So a lot of those guys that were traveling were also doing double duty, playing back at home. So again, they're expanding their own skill set, and at the same time, draining our local player base. It was really the beginning of the end. And then there was a few promoters, the EPPL, they tried to pick up the slack over the last 5 years, but again, they're having a hard time replenishing that competitive player base. And that's what we will always need. We will always need a competitive level, but until we get there, we need to refill that pot of players.
Yeah, it's a pyramid, right? You got that competitive at the top, but you need that big heavy foundation of renters, rec players, and just people out shooting to have fun to support that competitive. And they can work their way up to be, you know, hyper competitive if they want. But like you said, you need to have the fun aspect at the bottom to really support everything.
And then coming back full circle to that, to what you mentioned about Tyler and his team, Hustle, who those guys, they were there at Meg Hill on Saturday and just carried themselves professionally, interacted well with all the younger kids, inexperienced kids. Excellent. And that's what we need, because usually you head to a field and you see that guy with all the new shiny gear and they're like, sup. You know, it's not friendly. This was the exact opposite. It's like, hey, buddy, here's my gun. Hey, here's my jersey. Hey, let's go look at the field. And the kids, you take away that initial fright and then they're just into shooting people. Right?
Yeah.
It's Joe Pro down the other end of the field. It's just somebody else I'm going to shoot.
Sorry, reading comments. 100%. And I've seen it. Like, I mean, I'm not the best player by any means. But I've been on the field with the renters and, and they, you know, their first game, they're scared. They don't really know what to do. But as soon as you like power slide into a bunker with them and you're like, okay, here's what I need you to do, and you like lay down your marker and you'll be like, I need you to like hold it like this. Okay, now you're gonna snap out of the bunker and just keep shooting, don't worry about it. And you give them, even if it's just like 15 seconds of that little bit of coaching, and they're just sort of like, I know what to do now. You know, they've got a job now, and they feel so much more comfortable. And then you can see them the game after that, and they're just even more confident. And sometimes they get a little overconfident, and they're just like storming the 50 with no plan whatsoever. And it's just glorious.
Bingo. I'm glad you brought that up, because coaching is such an important aspect, and it's what drove the X-Ball craze. We had sidelines that were just packed, and you know, you had guys yelling and screaming, but players became so robotic and only responded to the coaching. That was the downside. But the initial good side was those players who weren't moving, After you told them two or three times to recognize a situation and go, you were hoping that fourth and fifth time they'd realize it on their own. But it had the opposite effect of they'd only move when they were told to move. So, but again, we need those crowds, we need that cheering, but you know, in a constructive fashion, not a counter-constructive fashion.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing quite as confirming, I guess is the word. Like when you're
We'll go with
playing on
that.
that, you're playing on that speedball field, and you decide to make a run. You decide to try and take a lane, and you peek out and you make that decision. Okay, I'm going, and you start to run, and then you can hear the crowd start to holler, like that woo sound that comes out of them because they see you doing something, and you're just like, this is either going to be amazing or it's going to be horrible. One of the two things. I'm either going to come through and I'm going to make the most badass move. But that crowd just energizes. I think the right word is actually energize. The
It is.
crowd can energize that player
You're a hero or a
so much.
zero.
Exactly.
And,
Exactly.
but
And
we need that crowd. And that crowd has to be allowed to engage. We need parents. Like, and that was one thing. You know, I've never seen that many parents at an event. And the parents are interacting with these players. And again, some of the guys, you know, they're wearing their official team jerseys, and that's good. They see a professional side of the sport. So when they're dropping little Jimmy or little Susie off, it's not just like, you know, a local cesspool. It's like, here, this is actually a professional run organization. They're going to be looked after. Their money's being well spent. And let's be honest, parents don't care where their money goes as long as their kid's having fun.
right, as long,
I'll
yes,
pay.
that's all they care about. I was chatting with, oh my goodness, I forget the kid's name. Anyways, it doesn't matter. That young fella, 12, 15, something like that. He was somewhere between 12 and 15, and he was just, it was a walk-on day. It was just a walk-on day, nothing terribly special, but the kid had an absolute blast. He played with us, he followed a group of us around the field, we gave him pointers, we helped him out. We lent our markers. We're like, dude, that Emek's cool, but try this, you know. And he was running around with it. And then the next weekend, we ran into his mother, and she told us that the entire drive home, he just wouldn't shut up
That is
about
awesome.
the like the four guys that helped him on the paintball field. Like he just kept going and going. And she's like, thank you so much for taking care of him, but oh my God, he won't shut up about how much fun he had.
But that's at the heart of what I'm saying. We have a responsibility, no, a duty. We've got a duty as players, as captains, as team owners, to not just show up when it's convenient for us, not just to show up for a tournament. And whether we like it or not, if we don't, it's going to die. So if we don't show up to these walk-ons, these practices, and bringing this full circle back to street ball, what an environment to bring these kids up in, girls, boys, parents, everybody involved, and you make it welcoming. And you know what? Prizes? I spent $100 and I won an $80 mask. I mean, I've never played paintball for that cheap. Had that much fun and drank somebody else's beer on the sidelines after it was done. I had a blast.
Right? That is a golden weekend of paintball, and I
Shout out to
can't wait.
Caleb Kitchen right there, my boy.
I'll bring cider next weekend I get up there. I'll
Oh,
bring
that's
some good
awesome.
stuff. Some some
Oh, my
some.
wife loves that stuff.
Ah, buddy, wait till you try it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's oh my God, it was great. The street ball thing is just it's. People keep talking about, oh, we have to grow the sport, and God, I hate the term hashtag grow the sport because it
Oh
just,
my, Bill, yeah,
it's
nuts.
just people say it into the abyss, and it goes nowhere. You hear everyone talking about like, oh, well, we need to get the kids into the paint into sport. Got to get the kids into the sport. And I'm like, yeah, you do. Okay, I get it. I get it. But like, mom and dad have the checkbook, not the 10-year-old. The 10-year-old's got no money. Mom and dad have the money, and. But even then, okay, let's make sport. Let's make a version of paintball that all the kids can play. Okay, great. That still doesn't help people like me. This still doesn't help the fields that I want to play at. And then nobody really seemed to have an idea or a solution of any kind. They just kept talking about making it less intense and more welcoming.
No, if you keep throwing hashtags out, that is bound to grow the sport, right?
Yeah,
See what I did
absolutely.
there? It's like buying local. Somebody comes out and they buy one apple and you know they think they've done their good deed for the year. Sorry.
Right.
In our sport, whether we like it or not, we've got to get down and we've got to get dirty. And this is part giving a little back to the sport. And again, getting these professionals, getting these more experienced players to step away from their team, from their league, from their comfort zone, will in the end build that league back up. But the onus is on us as players, as team 100%. Owners and captains.
Yeah, and that's where when Josh first chatted about the streetball idea, it was like a light went off in my head, and I was just like, oh my God, that's such an amazing idea. I've never experienced it before. Yeah, I've gone to walk-on days where you've got a bunch of renters, and maybe they've booked a time, or you know what I mean, like it's a party, and then you've got a handful, like say three or four, you know, regulars wandering in, and they're like, hey, do you guys want to split up and each pick a team? But it's still 90% rentals that, you know, maybe they're there for a birthday party and they'll never play again. That's just, you know, it's that one time thing. But the idea of an actual tournament and going to people and being like, you need to come play this tournament. I know you're not that great at the sport. It doesn't matter because we're going to team you up with some random person that's probably better than you. And you're going to learn something and you're going to have a blast. Like it was just, it's such a great idea.
Yeah. And not to get too caught up in fairy tales and rainbows, but we all share a love. And, as, you know, so even after we get off the field, I'm telling you, that's why we go. We go to hang out. We go to show gear. We go to shoot the shit. We go to have a few root beers, whatever your age is. But we're only on the field for a maximum of 5 minutes at a time. So what are you going to do with the rest of the day anyway?
Right.
You've got to get an environment where those players can mingle. You've got to make it friendly. And you start that by, you know, putting everybody together. I don't care if you cordon them off into 12. Well, maybe that wouldn't be socially distancing right now. But in a perfect world, you know, one big mosh pit and everybody shooting the shit and having a good time.
Yes, absolutely. Now, real quick, speaking of, and we're going to, there's a comment that I want to read when we come back from this in 2 seconds, is that I just want to talk about the sponsors and the people who help make this this show actually, you know, possible. So I'm going to switch. Yeah, I just realized that nobody could hear me.
Really?
Yeah. The system went all wonky and there was no microphone.
Let's do it again.
Yeah. I'm going to do it again. I got to go back. Okay. I got to fix it real quick. But I was sitting there and I'm like, something don't look right. And I seen that there was no audio input. And I'm like, oh, you got to be fucking kidding me.
It's like talking to my kids. I feel you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. Let's try this again, shall we? It's not a day of the Maritime Paintball Podcast without something going wrong. So let's try this again. PB Swag Bag. Save 10%. Use code MPP10. And get some cool paintball stuff sent to your house every month. So you can save 10% on your first bag using code MPP10. This is hilarious. Everyone in the comments right now is just like, all right, take two. DefConPaintballGear.com. One great sponsor. Been with us a little over a year. Almost anything on their website. If you go to DefConPaintballGear.com, you can save 10% using the code Maritimes, including their monthly supply drop, which if you get with, in the next 7 days, if you sign up by the 14th, you get in on the July one, and you're going to want to be in on it because the June one was great. So I imagine the July one's going to be good as well. I don't know what's in it. Tier 1 Armament, the longest sponsor of the podcast. They used to be Max Tac. They are now Tier 1 Armament. They're fantastic individuals. They are the MEG-fed tactical airsoft specialist kind of guys. Super cool people, too. Super fantastic guys. So go check them out. Tier1ArmamentStore.com. And of course, the real MVPs, the Patreon supporters, Matt S., Tim B., Dr. Rush, I'm trying really hard not to laugh, Jeffrey L., Ryan B., Alex W., Tony C., the real MVPs, these guys are donating, it can be as little as a dollar. If you go to patreon.com/Maritime Paintball Podcast, you can be a Patreon supporter of the show. Please don't feel that I need you to. I understand everybody right now is under a bit of financial strain. So, but if you were in the position to, and you're like, I want to support this, it's like a dollar a month, patreon.com/Maritime Paintball Podcast, and get your name read every week. How was that for take two?
Whew. That was awesome.
I need a drink.
That was awesome.
Everyone's just like, I thought my phone broke. Thought the computer crashed. Okay. Whew. actually have like a ringing in my ears right now.
Do you even feel like if the words are even coming out of your mouth when you're doing that?
Honestly?
Yeah, no. Really? No, I get you.
It all blends together. I don't even hear myself for most of it. Okay. Here's a great comment from Lead Farmer. He's a player out in Ontario. Great guy. He, what was this? Hitman? Ooh, Hitman.
We're coming back.
You're coming back.
Yeah, we're coming back hard.
Nice. So Lead Farmer here has got a great comment. He goes, why is it the player's job to grow the sport? At the end, we're the customers. Field owners and paintball companies need to do most of the lifting. As a player and a content creator, my responsibility is to represent the sport in a positive way. I just want to play and have a good time. Am I selfish? No. I think what we were getting at by it's our responsibility to help paintball is by attending good events. Fields need to put a good event together, but you can't attend one event a year and then piss and moan about paintball not growing. Is I think that's what I got out of it.
Yeah, I would look at that from 2 points. One, very good point from a retail perspective. What we were talking about before, Brad, like for someone owning a field as a renter, you know, you want adequate facilities, good paint, washrooms, all that good stuff. You want the experience.
Running water.
But again, that little essay was shaped by my experience, and we've alienated such a large portion of the competitive speedballers, and there's not enough coming up. There's more out than in. So it is our job. It's our fiduciary duty to refill that pot. And we can do that in a few simple ways. And that's what getting rid of those segments. I was shot by a speedballer. No, you were shot by a paintballer, dude, right? No, I don't care what he was shooting. It was a paintball. So, again,
you weren't shot by an airsofter.
Yeah. Full stop. Okay. But yeah, so again, excellent point from him on a retail business side, but this is my passion. This is our sport, and good. That organizer can do whatever he wants. All the bells and whistles inside that, you know, that, what is it? 150 by 75 netted area. Yeah. But if nobody's coming, nobody's coming. It doesn't matter what kind of venue he's putting on. Right. We need to drag players back just to build the numbers up initially until that pool can be replenished.
Absolutely. Like I said, they can do whatever they want, but if the players don't come, they don't come.
That's right.
Scott Mize says, drop prices, bring in more people. That's a tough one. I feel like...
How long have you been playing, Brad?
13 years.
Do you remember paint prices when you first started?
They've gone down.
Yeah, I paid $120 bucks a case. Shout out to anybody who spent their entire two-week paycheck on an event 10, 15 years ago. We're living in blessed times, my friend.
When I first started playing, I would buy paint in, and I mean, like, this is when I first started playing. You didn't buy paint in the case. The field I was going to had it in the case, in the bag, and then they had it in an even smaller bag. You could buy a bag of 200 for, I think it was $20, which is outrageous. Right? Like it's when you actually do the math, it's a lot. But the paint was like, when you looked at the full case prices were about $110. I remember that. I remember when a field opened up and they went, yeah, our paint is $80 a case. And I went, holy shit, only $80. I've been paying 110 at the other place. And then, you know, so now it's, some fields have it as low as 65, which it depends on what that field's operating costs are too, right? Like if they, how much paint are they buying? What are they getting it for? What's their operations costs? Fields aren't free. You got to pay employees, and you got to pay licensing, and you got to pay insurance, and you got to pay property tax, and you got to pay upkeep. Shit's not free.
But yeah, people will pay what they value. And I go back to X-Ball 6-7 years ago. We were shooting 30 cases a match at $100 a pop. Like you're blowing 600, 700, 800 bucks in a weekend. So I have no sympathy for people playing the game today cost-wise, because they couldn't even relate to it back in the day. And again, not to date myself, but 100, 120, not out of this world. So what they're paying for today, is significantly cheaper. Now, are they getting value for that? That we could argue, right? Are they getting all the bells and whistles that we did? No, because even then the CXPL was the prem, that was our Stanley Cup. And there was every bell and whistle, but you paid for those bells and whistles and we didn't mind. Mm-hmm. But after 2 or 3 years, you're burnt out, you got no money, and you're done.
Yep.
So how do we recapture those guys?
Roger Raffius jumping here. Roger's been playing for, Jesus, I don't know. I think he was there when the first paintball was made.
His first gun was wooden.
Right, exactly. It was wooden. With back when Brass Eagle made actual brass barrels.
PGP.
He's talking about 10-round tubes that cost $2. A lot of people don't know that, but paintballs used to be bought in these tubes. You didn't buy it in a bag. You bought that shit in a tube.
That's right.
So the questions are pouring in. They want to know, well, actually, one guy commented, in Illinois, they pay $60 a box. But I think if you convert for $60 US to Canadian, that's probably about 85. Yeah, so it's about on par. So, you know, the American dollar being worth far more than our Maple Leafs. So, where is it? Question. Here we go. What does Kevin think of the hate between the classes, as in Megfed versus Speedball? That obviously can't be helping the sport. I think we already know what you're going to say about the classes.
Yeah, no. So we can subdivide so much. Let's be honest. You are not going to get SEAL Team 6 onto the speedball field. Okay? it's a sheer impossibility. We fought for years to bring it out of the woods. This is where my brain shuts off. I realize from an industry standpoint, they need that revenue. But the guy in full battle dress, replicating Delta Force, Green Berets, okay, that's good. They'll keep that in the woods. But the rest of us all share that pension for the non-militaristic side, playing paintball on an arena-type setting. So shout out to the MagFed guys. You know, bipods, night vision, Trillium Scope, all that stuff. You have at her. Trillium Scope. I don't think that's not my game, and I'm not an expert on it.
I have two MagFed markers, and I do enjoy it, but I do, I'm like you, the whole, like, there's not going to be a SEAL Team 6. Again, the t-shirt and blue jeans walking onto a field. I've come across those teams that are those super hardcore, tactical, diehard, and it's just like, holy shit, guys, it's paintball. And I mean, I've actually been a little too relaxed. I walked onto the field one time. I forgot to put a mag in the marker. That was,
were you doing, did they make you do push-ups?
God, no, I won't do push-ups. You got to pay me to do push-ups. Okay. Fuck that noise. No. I've played MagFed only events that, were great. It was really fun to play. It's a different style. We were running first strike rounds, which make it a very weird experience, because your brain is already wired to how far away a paintball can travel, and then the first strike goes an extra feet, like 50 feet further. So you're like, oh, I'm a safe distance, and it whistles past your ear, and you're just like, and you die. Yeah. But it's some people kind of take it a little too far, and when they're just like hardcore MagFed only, it's like, well, then bro, you do you, but do not complain when I overshoot you with my pump. You know, like it's just a different way to shoot a paintball at somebody at the end of the day.
I don't agree with it, but I respect it. That's it's like, you do you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to comment. Right. That's they like doing it. I would get an instant demotion after one game, so I have no fear they'd invite me back. But I love this side.
And you know, I've played the MagFed games that I played one that was really hardcore, and some of the teams had that full blown command structure that kind of weirded me out a little bit, to be honest with you. I don't play paintball to be told by commanding officer, using air quote, people like not watching the video can't see the air quotes happening here, telling me what to do. I've got a bad habit of going on to games when I've got a team captain and he's just like, I need you to go this way. And I'm like, no. And then I wander off in the wrong direction. Greatest story ever told by me was playing at PRZ at a MagFed only game, and the captain being like, okay, I need the guys from the Maritimes to go do this. And like, he was like divvying out these special little tasks. And we were these little intense little task force. And we were hardcore MAGFed players. And his co-captain was a buddy of mine, was just like, dude, just leave them alone. Let them go do their thing. They'll like, if you want to win this game, let them just go play paintball and they will win you the game.
So my two tents from that side, we had ATWL started a while back. Real great guy. His name was Bruce Johnson. He used to run the Tippinators. They started this league. You'll never find a nicer bunch of guys. But anyway, cool 10-second story. We had a CXBL team. We all show up, flashy jerseys, headbands, tangy, the whole nine yards. We're going in there and we're swooping in and, you know, we're kicking ass. We're taking names. I think we were blown apart in about 30 seconds by 10 hardcore woods ball. And I'm like, I mean, I've never seen such a, you know, bunch of chins just absolutely hit the floor. So shout out to those woods ballers too.
Yeah. Yeah. Those guys that can move, like they're just like ghosts in the forest, right? They can somehow move through the forest without snapping a single twig. Roger's just like, damn, first strikes jam up in the spire. You got to barrel load those, bud. You got to like musket load them. That's how you use them when you're running a spire. Where is it? There was a comment here. Lead Farmer. Don't you think the Navy SEAL guys are attracting more players to the sport? Many of them switch to speedball. I think the guys that are attracted to the Navy SEAL style, the Navy SEAL side of things, I think they get into the MAGFed side of it, and then maybe some of them switch over to speedball. But I see way too many people getting into MAGFed, like never played paintball before, or they played one game, and then they get into MAGFed, and they get the MAGFed style markers, they get the AR style markers, and then they're immediately bitching and moaning that they're just getting lit up by the speedball guys, or, you know, the guys running the hopper guys. If they're switching over and then they're blending between the two and they're playing all forms of paintball and they're having a blast, great. But I really don't think that the hardcore Navy SEAL style stuff is what is really attracting people. I'm full proponent. I'm a big supporter that, If we want to attract more people to paintball, it needs to be advertised more like BMX and skateboarding used to be advertised. Make it look cool as hell and people will come.
Yeah. And to Lead Farmer's point, again, this all started from a snapshot of our piece of the puzzle, right? Our little community here in Atlantic Canada, and trying to rebuild one specific portion of our game through a really fun environment that streetball provided. So to answer those larger questions, one, that's over my pay grade, and two, those guys can go, they can have their fun, right?
Absolutely.
That's for smarter people than me to decide, but I'm looking at doing whatever I can, boots on the ground. Funny, that's my MAGFed. So to get players that have been playing and let them know, hey, listen, guys, it's not X-ball. I don't care how old, short, fat, ugly you are, you can last 2 minutes on a paintball field, and then in another 8 games, your number comes up again. And it's not going to cost you $1 million. And actually, one of the best quotes I heard on the weekend was, when I was younger, I had the time and not the money. And now I'm older, I get the money and not the time. So I thought about that. And that, shout out to Chucky, because you gave that one to me, but I stole it. But, you know, couple that, that's what it is. You know, so we've got to make the most of the time that we have while we're there.
Jeff Sanders has a good comment here. He says, stop pushing the play styles. I don't think he's directing it at you or me. I think he's just like, it's a statement of stop pushing the play styles, which aren't financially sustainable for the average person. And I think I agree. I think I think a lot of people, it's getting better now, but for a long time to compete in paintball, the way the game had evolved, the only way to compete was to put more paint down field faster than the other team. Like as things just got faster and faster, things are kind of tailored back now. I think we kind of went a little nuts.
So it's a good point from what he says, but we went from fully automatic to 15 balls a second, down to 12, down to 10.2, and now we're at 8. So he's 100% right. We've got to keep the competitive aspect that we all know and love, mm-hmm. but make it financially viable for everybody.
Right. Was it, MPPL? Was it MPPL that did this? One of the leagues. I can't remember which one. It might have been Millennium. I forget. Anyways, that they ended up trying to put in the rule of like it was a hopper plus 500 balls was what a player was allowed to take on the field. One of the big leagues tried to pull that. I don't remember which
Yeah, I
one.
think the Millennium did. It was a hopper and three pods. I'm not. I don't have any data. I
Yeah,
don't have any
they basically
feedback.
told the dudes, the back corner players, stop taking 12 pods on the field and your own air compressor. Like that was, they're just like move, do something. Don't just sit there and throw paint at each other.
So, and again, what we have here, we've looked at how do we stop. And again, these were just suggestions, subtle, all over the internet. But it was so. Yes, the new mech phase. I get that nostalgia. A lot of guys reaching back, but again, we can't segment. So why would we restrict that? Put them all together. As long as you limit the BPS, you're fine. We've shortened the game amount. We've shortened the number of players, so you only have enough time to shoot two pods, and then
Right.
the game's over.
Okay, it's not here right now, but I've got a mini that if I program it, blah, 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 if I program it, I can make it so that I can't shoot faster than an EMEC or,
Amen.
you know what I mean? Like
Amen.
I can program. I think I've got it set at, I think 10.5, I think is what I last set it at, 10.5 semi. But if I wanted to, I could bring that way down and I could hammer on that trigger all I wanted and it's going to fire one or two balls every couple of seconds. That's all it's going to do. Which is, you know what I mean? Like it's not something I would ever actually do. But actually, that'd be kind of a cool way to play. Be a hell of a handicap.
But again, was only a start. It was only a snapshot. And I have no idea whether this is going to take off. We've got another league that's been here for 5 years too, that's struggling to get competitive players, and we need to keep that afloat as well. But we've got to make sure that players are being fostered in the right environment, that it is structured, and then again, we involve the parents, the teammates, the captains, and everybody. And we've seen a good start. Meg Hill Street Ball was an excellent start. And to those older guys that don't play anymore, you can physically compete for 1 point every eight, and you can still drink beer. It was proven on Sunday and Saturday.
It can be done. It can be done.
It can be done.
It's awesome. Okay. I think we're gonna call it there. There's just some great comments coming through. Sorry. Roger Raffius, more paintball downfield was a thing when back in 12 gram days. Absolutely. I think it just kept going and going, and then eventually somebody was like, we were so worried about if we could. It was we never asked if we should.
Oh my gosh,
And
yes.
then they
Great
kind of brought it
quote.
back. You know what
Great
I mean?
quote.
Like,
Great quote.
so that was, yeah, I think is all it was. And now 8, 8, 10 is kind of like the good number. And it's making paintball interesting again. It's not just people standing there throwing shitloads of paint at each other. Players are moving, they're moving on each other. You're seeing stuff happen, and it's actually fun to watch. And I think we're on the right road.
And so just shout out, we've got a speedball practice. I think the EPPL's putting one on this upcoming weekend. Make it to that, guys. Street ball number two is August 8th.
I
Just
will
come
be
check it
there.
out. Seriously, $100, $150 for the day, but don't overlook the importance and your responsibility. You older players, you vets, it's your duty. Come on, grab somebody and come out. It's fun.
Yeah, I will be there August 8th, damn it. I will be
I'm
there.
holding to
I was
Brad. I will
so
hold you to
mad.
that.
I was so mad I couldn't
Levi's
go.
versus Skinnies.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll do
I'm
that.
throwing it down.
All right. Levi's versus Skinny's. What about we should coordinate the t-shirts though. Like, are you gonna wear a jersey?
Shoot.
Are you
You
gonna
know what? I was going to mention that. Yeah, that would be the only thing that would make it would be different colored t-shirts. Yeah. And any cider. Like, if you want to bring the cider, I got the cooler and the ice.
Okay.
I think that's a fair trade.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
Especially because I could probably get the cider for next to nothing. So wait, Logan Hammond has one question.
Oh my gosh.
Salt in your Coors Light or no?
What did he say?
Salt in your Coors Light or no?
Dude, you know you need that. It takes the bitterness of the beer away. I taught you that years ago.
So if I know anything from when I lived with a chef was that salt makes things taste good. Coors Light doesn't. So maybe the salt helps.
Oh, Brad, thanks for having me, buddy. This is awesome.
right, man. It was an absolute blast. So, we'll I don't know. I've been told I need to bring you back. Dave Fraser says I need to bring you back another day because you probably
Okay.
have way more to say.
Be careful what you wish for. Thanks, buddy.
All right, man. It's been an absolute blast. We'll chat later.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
man. Cheers.
Bye.
Oh, man. Woo! What a show. Holy shit. That was a blast. Okay. I'm about to leave. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you learned something. I hope you maybe got introduced to a new concept. Folks, get street ball going in your local market. It's so easy. You organize the day and you figure out the teams the day of. It's a blast. It's a blast. So that's it. I'm out of here. It's been an absolute blast. Thank you so much for everyone who has liked and shared the podcast. Anyone who stuck around in the comments and hung out with us, I appreciate it so much. This has been one of the best episodes. Sorry, Tyler Fields. But this has been one of the best episodes in a very long time. Tyler, you were a great guest as well. But this was just fantastic. Everybody is just loving this. So that's it. I'm out of here. Folks, if you have any questions or comments, or if you have any suggestions for a great guest I should bring on in the next coming weeks, please put it in the comments. Send me a message. You can direct message, you can DM me on the Facebook page, or you can just shoot me a Facebook message. Just look up my name. It's just Bradley Odell. Find me. It's the dude with the beard and the blue glasses. That's it. I'm out of here. Thank you so much. And yeah, until next week. Cheers.